Genesis chapter 41, and we read from verse 1 to verse 16, and then we pick up again at verse 25, not verse 26 as printed, verse 25, and we read through to verse 40. So Genesis chapter 41 from verse 1 to 16 and 25 to 40. When 2 full years had passed, that is, when Joseph was in prison, when 2 full years had passed, Pharaoh had a dream. He was standing by the Nile, when out of the river there came up 7 cows, sleek and fat, and they grazed among the reeds. After them 7 other cows, ugly and gaunt, came up out of the Nile, and stood beside those on the river bank. And the cows that were ugly and gaunt ate up the 7 sleek fat cows, and then Pharaoh woke up. He fell asleep again and had a second dream. 7 ears of corn, healthy and good, were growing on a single stalk. After them 7 other ears of corn sprouted, thin and scorched by the east wind. The thin ears of corn swallowed up the 7 healthy full ears. Then Pharaoh woke up. It had been a dream. In the morning his mind was troubled, so he sent for all the magicians and wise men of Egypt. And Pharaoh told them his dreams, but no one could interpret them for him. Then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, "Today I am reminded of my shortcomings. Pharaoh was once angry with his servants, and he imprisoned me and the chief baker in the house of the captain of the guard. Each of us had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. Now a young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. We told him our dreams, and he interpreted them for us, giving each man the interpretation of his dreams. And things turned out exactly as he interpreted them to us. I was restored to my position, and the other man was hanged." So Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon. When he had shaved and changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I had a dream, and no one can interpret it. But I have heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it." "I cannot do it," Joseph replied to Pharaoh, "but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires." And so Pharaoh tells Joseph his dreams again. Verse 25, "Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, 'The dreams of Pharaoh are one and the same. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. The 7 good cows are 7 years, and the 7 good ears of corn are 7 years. It is one and the same dream. And the 7 lean ugly cows that came up afterwards are 7 years, and so are the 7 worthless ears of corn scorched by the east wind. They are 7 years of famine. It is just as I said to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. 7 years of great abundance are coming throughout the land of Egypt, but 7 years of famine will follow them. Then all the abundance in Egypt will be forgotten, and the famine will ravage the land. The abundance in the land will not be remembered, because the famine that follows it will be so severe. The reason the dream was given to Pharaoh in 2 forms is that the matter has been firmly decided by God, and God will do it soon. And now let Pharaoh look for a discerning and wise man, and put him in charge of the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh appoint commissioners over the land to take a 1/5 of the harvest of Egypt during the 7 years of abundance. They should collect all the food of these good years that are coming, and store up the grain under the authority of Pharaoh to be kept in the cities for food. This food should be held in reserve for the country, to be used during the 7 years of famine that will come upon Egypt, so that the country may not be ruined by the famine." The plan seemed good to Pharaoh and to all his officials. So Pharaoh asked them, "Can we find anyone like this man, one in whom is the Spirit of God?" Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you. Amen, and may God bless to us the reading of his word. We turn then to Genesis chapter 41 and these verses that we read from the chapter about Joseph. Joseph has been forgotten in this Egyptian dungeon. He has done all the right things. Joseph has told the truth. Joseph has believed God's promises given to him in dreams when he was younger. He has resisted temptation when it came to him time and time again. And he has given honor and glory to God. And look where it's got him. Look where it's got him. Forgotten in an Egyptian dungeon, neglected, brought low through no fault of his own. But Joseph was going through a trial of his faith. Joseph was not only going through a trial of his faith, he was being trained for what God yet had in store for him. These prison years of Joseph's don't tell us that God had forgotten him. They don't tell us that God is not to be trusted. They don't tell us that God loses track of where we are and what's happening to us. When we look at what happened to Joseph, and we look at the way that Joseph handled this trial, then we see that in actual fact, God was preparing Joseph for something far better than he could possibly have imagined. God was training Joseph for service that would be given to God for God's glory. In fact, God was doing Joseph good in the midst of the darkness of this trial. And there are four particular lessons that we can learn from the way that Joseph handled the situation. The first is that Joseph placed no confidence in man. Joseph could very easily have trusted himself to try and get himself out. He was clever, he was quick-witted, he was shrewd. He was good at getting into other people's good books, not because he was in some way sort of creeping or smarmy or anything like that, but simply because he was diligent, he was responsible, and he could be trusted. But Joseph placed no confidence in other people. The way he'd been treated by people so far would have taught Joseph that lesson. Here he is, again, forgotten. He knows not to trust people. He knows that people forget their promises. A cupbearer who had promised to put in a good word for him with Pharaoh when he got out, and he'd forgotten. Joseph knew that people forget their gratitude. When you've done something good for them and kind for them and you've gone out of your way for them and they forget. Joseph knew that once you were out of sight with people, you were out of mind, and that was the norm. Joseph placed no confidence in people. Before we go any further with this part of Joseph's story, we too can learn that lesson. People can be cruel without ever intending to be. People can be unkind and forgetful. We can feel that with members of our own family or friends that we've helped or people at work that we've got involved with and helped in some way or another, once the problem is over, you're dropped. You're out of sight, you're out of mind. You're forgotten. We need to learn the lesson that Joseph learned. It's a painful lesson. It's a hard lesson to learn. It seems sometimes to go against the grain. When we want to be good Christian people and we want to think well of people, yet we have to be as realistic as Joseph was. Don't lean on people for ultimate support. Don't lean on people for ultimate support. But Joseph placed all his confidence and all his reliance and all his hope for the future in God. The God who was with him in the dungeon, as we read time and time again in the 39th chapter. The God who had promised Joseph that one day he would exalt him and honor him. The God who had shown himself faithful when things were going well and when things were going badly. Joseph placed all his confidence on God. And at those key moments in Joseph's life whilst he was in prison, when the cupbearer and the chief baker came to him, and then when this news of Pharaoh's request came to him, at those key moments, Joseph placed his confidence in God. I can't interpret your dreams, but God can. How can we find help from God? We're not going to go and put ourselves in prison to find help from God. How can we find help from God? How can we lean on God when the going is rough? Well, Paul wrote to the church in Philippi, to Christians who were facing not only problems within the congregation and from within the city, but were facing tremendous persecution, or at the very least the threat of it. And Paul wrote to these Philippians in chapter 4 at verse 6, saying, "Do not be anxious about anything." Startling words to a generation, to a world, to a society at least in which we live, which is almost crippled with anxiety. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. How can we do what Joseph did? How can we lean upon God? We can do it in prayer. In prayer, asking God, just asking him for what we need, and with thanksgiving for all that he has given in the past, for all his love and his compassion and his understanding, for all his trustworthiness, make your requests known to God. Lean on him. And when Paul writes that to the Philippians, he's writing using the same continuous present tense that Jesus used when he said, ask, seek, and knock. Keep on praying, keep on asking, keep on thanking God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind. How can we lean on God in prayer? How can we learn the kind of contentment and poise that Joseph had in that Egyptian dungeon? In prayer, pouring out our hearts before God, asking his help, trusting him, and keeping on doing it. And it worked for Paul. Just a few verses later, he writes to these Philippians, "I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength." Do we need strength? Do we need air to breathe? Of course we need strength. Do we need contentment when our minds race ahead down lists of things that we want and things that we think we need? Or when our minds return time and time again to things that we are worrying about, or people that we are worrying about, or situations that are filling us with dread that we can see coming up on the horizon? Lean on and despair, it shut the door on anxiety, and it shut the door on self-pity. But it opened the door in Joseph's life to peace and contentment and to poise and to strength, so that Joseph's character and his personality were finally balanced and he was ready when the time came to act. Don't lean on people, but lean on God. And God will prepare you in the trials. When you go through them in that way, God will prepare you in the trials for service, for opportunities to help other people, for those things which will make even greater demands on your faith that are coming ahead. Joseph had been waiting 2 years in an Egyptian dungeon. He'd been in prison before that. He'd been sold as a slave by his own brothers. 13 years since Joseph had had those dreams. But he was waiting on God. And when the moment came, he was ready. Pharaoh heard from the cupbearer, sent for Joseph. Joseph only had time to shave and to put on clean clothes. Only had the time to spruce himself up. No time for plans and policies, no time for sitting down with anybody else and saying, what shall I do? What shall I say to Pharaoh? How am I going to do this? Hardly any time even to worry about it. But he was ready. And in the time it took him to be dragged from a dungeon, put through a razor and a wardrobe and brought out the other side into Pharaoh's presence, he knew exactly what he was going to say, how he was going to handle the situation. Not because his plans were well formulated, but because his attitude before God was right. His attitude was right. We find Joseph before Pharaoh, standing there before a man whom others would spend all their lives trying to get into the presence of, catapulted from dungeon to palace. And he says to Pharaoh exactly what he'd said to the cupbearer, I can't do it, but God can. Imagine saying that to Pharaoh. Pharaoh asks something of you. The king asks something of you. Her Majesty the Queen asks something of you. And she thinks that you can do it. Joseph doesn't push his own self-confidence forward, nor does he collapse in a fit of self-pity or of self-doubt, with poise, calm assurance. I can't do it, but God can. And God did give the interpretation of the dreams. And God gave to Joseph such an evident, clear wisdom that Pharaoh knew he was in the presence of somebody in whose life God's Spirit dwelt. And just as Joseph had honored God before the highest in the land, so God honored Joseph. In his way and in his good time and for his purposes of grace and blessing, God elevated Joseph to the position which was second only to the Pharaoh. Don't lean on people. Lean on God. God will prepare you in the trials for what he has ahead. And the fourth lesson we can learn from Joseph in this chapter is that if we honor God, he will honor us. That doesn't mean that if we come to church on Sunday and we try and live a Christian life, our incomes will go through the roof, our children will suddenly become well-behaved models of whatever we would like them to be. It doesn't mean that we will have success at every turn and that nobody will reverse their car into us in a car park. It doesn't mean that we will have the kind of easy, wonderful, successful, glowing life that we think we want. But it does mean that God will honor us. And that perhaps over the years our lives will present a kind of integrity and reliability and kindness that other people cannot miss. It does perhaps mean that our children will be more like Christ than they would be if we didn't honor God. in the book of Proverbs, which most likely was written as a kind of training course for the nobility in Israel. The teacher says this to his young charges: in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will give you the desires of your heart. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Even in prison, even in the trials, even when God seemed to be making a mess of the whole thing, Joseph acknowledged God publicly and privately, and God honored him. These are not immensely complicated lessons for us to understand, but they are very, very demanding lessons for us to put into practice. Not to lean on people, but to lean on God for our ultimate support. To look at the trials and the difficulties and the sorrows that we go through as God's means of training us and preparing us and shaping and molding our characters and our Christian commitment, so that we are ready to serve him and able to serve him and willing, and to honor God, to put God first in our lives and not ourselves, is such a difficult lesson to put into practice. But when we do, we find that God does honor us, and he does bless our lives and our endeavors, and he does watch over us, and he does keep us. So in every area of our lives, we can learn from this man who went through things that we will probably never ever have to go through. And he was taken through them by God, so that when God could use him most, he was ready. Amen, and may God bless us.